This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. The ethanol industry is trying to make up for a concerning future outlook for ethanol demand as the motor fleet goes electric. The transition will not happen tomorrow in a short-term sense, but tomorrow will come and the ethanol industry needs to plan for it and adapt. One avenue to expand demand is through exports. China did not adopt the E10 standard, but will need more ethanol. They need cleaner air and octane. Purchasing ethanol in distillers' grain would advance progress toward China fulfilling its Phase 1 trade obligation to buy U.S. commodities. Corn is worth over $10 a bushel in China, so it is certainly hard for them to make ethanol from it. It would be cheaper to buy our corn in the form of ethanol to import. Canada is using more ethanol. Ontario is increasing its blend rate from E10 to E15 gradually over the next decade. Hopefully so are we. That is how ethanol demand stays the same even if gasoline demand declines. Japan is increasing its blend rate for ethanol incrementally as well, using it to clean air and as octane to 1.9% this year. India is building a corn to ethanol plant. Many countries are finding out the value of ethanol as an essential fuel additive. Used even in small increments added to fuel worldwide, the total adds up. Ethanol producers are also seeing more demand for byproducts like CO2, which is used to make dry ice to protect vaccines, and of course, hand sanitizer. Brazil's tariff-free quota on U.S. ethanol imports expires next week, and if not extended, would add a 20% tariff to U.S. ethanol. What is frustrating is that California imports Brazilian sugarcane feedstock ethanol because they gave it a lower score in their state's carbon rules than our corn ethanol. California pays a premium for Brazilian ethanol while we export ours to Brazil. They imported 91 million gallons from Brazil this year through August 2020. That gives Brazil a little more incentive to convert nature to farmland. The California Carbon Board claimed that there was an indirect relationship between corn demand for ethanol here and land conversion in Brazil. That is bogus, but there is a direct connection between buying Brazilian ethanol, which they are now also making out of corn, and land conversion there. California made a bad choice and ends up paying more for ethanol. China's foreign minister says that China intends to honor the Phase 1 trade deal. He said that they will fulfill their commitments. My expectation was that they would continue to work on Phase 1 as a goodwill gesture to incoming President Biden. I do not think that President-elect Biden will be soft on China, but I expect that our response will be more thoughtful than the blunt force tariffs imposed here and there that has been our trade policy. There is a pandemic to stop here first. It was noted that China is behind on its purchases, but it is a 2-year agreement, which means that if they comply, the best is yet to come. The tariffs get trade partners' attention, but there is no evidence that they have improved any of the trade data. It got worse. December USDA reports are due out Thursday. The trade is looking for USDA to deduct 11 million bushels from the corn carryover, with the average trade guess being 1.691 billion bushels. I think that China is going to buy 200 to 400 million more bushels of corn than the trade has built into these report estimates, eventually shrinking the corn carryover further. They look for the soybean carryover to tighten another 22 million bushels to 168 million. They look for the wheat carryover to tighten 3 million bushels to 874 million. In other words, a little change in the corn and wheat carryovers in this report and a reaffirmation of tightening pipeline supplies in soybeans. I do not see how the soybean carryover is only 168 million bushel and that current prices have rationed such a supply relative to demand. The trade looks for USDA to reduce the size of their Brazilian and Argentine corn and soybean production estimates. They eventually will, but the trade tends to get out ahead of USDA with such timing. Feedstuffs Magazine says that Rabobank is bearish on meat exports to China in 2021. China has been vigorously testing imported food for evidence of COVID-19, has been finding trace samples mostly on fish. They blamed imported salmon for one of their COVID-19 breakouts. Testing alone is causing a problem and is backing up frozen food imports with limited cold storage. Rabobank says that Chinese pork production may rebound 20% next year and that meat imports may decline 20 to 30%. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, contact us at comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.